वासुदेवाय वो रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 9 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड मदर यशोदा बाइंड्स लॉर्ड कृष्णा टेक्स्ट नंबर 7 उत्तार्य गोपी उत्तार्य गोपी सुषुतं पयपुना प्रविश्य संदृश्य चदद अमत्रकम् भग्नं विलोक्य स्वसुतस्य कर्मतः जहासतं चापि न तत्र पश्यति उत्तार्य वर्ड टू वर्ड ट्रांसलेशन उत्तार्य पर्पोर्ट बै हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद मदर यशोदा आफ्टर टेकिंग डाउन द हॉट मिल्क फ्रॉम द ओवन रिटर्न टू द चर्निंग स्पॉट And when she saw that the container of yogurt was broken and that Krishna was not present, she concluded that the breaking of the pot was the work of Krishna. Purport. Seeing the pot broken and Krishna not present, Yashoda definitely concluded that the breaking of the pot was the work of Krishna. There was no doubt about it. I seek the blessings of the assembled devotees, especially this is a speaking from the 10th canto, and especially this is a one of the famous pastime of Lord Krishna, Damodar Leela. So I will just try to share a few points. So we see here that Mother Yashoda was churning milk on the day of Deepavali, and when she was churning yogurt, she was singing the glories of Krishna, and her mind was engaged in thinking about Krishna. And as soon as when Krishna came to know that Mother Yashoda is singing about him, Krishna immediately got up, and then Krishna actually came to Mother Yashoda. Krishna asked her to feed her breast milk. And then Mother Yashoda started feeding milk to Krishna. So when Mother Yashoda was feeding milk to Krishna, so at that time, she had kept milk in the pot for boiling. In fact, she had collected special Padma Gandha milk. Nanda Maharaj had so many lakhs of cows. So out of that, he had 9 lakh cows. Out of that, 8 cows were very special, and they were actually fed very special type of grass, and the milk from those 8 cows was Mother Yashoda was actually boiling that milk in order to actually prepare sweets for Lord Krishna. So when that milk in the pot was boiling, Yashoda immediately left Krishna, and then she went to actually take care of that milk. She went to actually remove the pot from the stove so that the milk will be saved for future preparation. So when Mother Yashoda left Krishna, so Krishna actually became angry with Mother Yashoda. In fact, in the previous verse, it was described that how Krishna was actually biting his teeth. He was actually really angry. So we see that we'll try to cover maybe 3 or 4 points from this thing, depending on the time. We see that Mother Yashoda, she was actually directly feeding Krishna milk. So at that time, she actually stopped feeding milk, and then she went to take care of the milk. She went to take care of the milk in the pot. So many times, a devotee may encounter a certain situation that a person may be with the Supreme Lord, a person may be with the spiritual master, or and then there is like another service also comes. So here, Mother Yashoda, she left Krishna because she was actually seeing the future. Because that milk is especially meant to prepare special preparations for the service of the Lord. So she was not simply seeing the present, but she was seeing the future. Because of that, she actually left that present service, although she was directly with Krishna, and she went to take care of that milk. So similarly, we see that the nature of a devotee is that he is not simply concerned with his own practice of Krishna consciousness at the present, but a devotee is also concerned with making future arrangements for the practice of Krishna consciousness for others. So he's not concerned with the present service, but he also wants to see the same service will also go on for the future. So because Mother Yashoda was concerned about the future service, so she left Krishna, although she was definitely experiencing so much of ecstasy directly feeding milk to Krishna. So especially when I thought about this point, that many examples came to my mind, and I would like to share a few examples. Especially, I was always inspired by this character of Vidura in the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. If we read the third canto, Vidura, when he actually meets Uddhava, so Vidura asks so many questions to Uddhava about Lord Krishna and the family members of Krishna. So as soon as Uddhava is reminded about Krishna and his relatives, Uddhava immediately goes into ecstasy. In fact, those ecstatic symptoms exhibited by Uddhava were recognized by Vidura as the ecstatic symptoms. So that means Vidura was also on the same platform as that of Uddhava. Because one can actually recognize a pure devotee through another devotee who is also on the same platform. So Vidura actually recognized Uddhava to be exalted devotee. He recognized them to be ecstatic symptoms. So then Vidura, then Uddhava narrates to Uddhava, remembers about the different activities of Krishna. And then Uddhava tells at the end of the conversation that how Lord Krishna, before departing from this world, he actually, Lord Krishna imparted to him the most confidential knowledge. In fact, Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, the knowledge which Krishna imparted to Uddhava was more confidential than even the Chatushloki Bhagavatam, which Krishna imparted to Lord Brahma in the beginning of the creation. So the knowledge which Krishna imparted to Uddhava concerned about the deep truths about Krishna's pastimes and Krishna's disappearance from this world. So when Vidura actually hears this, then Vidura actually immediately asks Uddhava, you please actually narrate what Krishna told you, what Krishna spoke to you. But then Uddhava actually tells that you must actually go to Maitreya Rishi and hear from him. So Uddhava was like, I was hearing from a devotee, he shared a beautiful realization. He said like that Uddhava was actually more concerned with following Vaishnava etiquette than making disciples. So that's why like Uddhava actually told Vidura to actually hear from Maitreya Rishi. And then Uddhava, he said that Lord Krishna remembered you before leaving this world. So as soon as Vidura actually hears this, Vidura actually cries out in ecstasy. Prabhupada writes in her purport that this crying on the part of the devotee of the Lord is the last stage in the progressive path of self-realization. So we see, especially, Vidura, one is like a devotee remembering the Lord, another is Lord remembering the devotee. So Vidura was definitely remembering the Lord, But more than that, Krishna was remembering Vidura. So when Krishna remembers a particular person, that means like that person has actually captured the heart of Krishna. And another thing is, like remembering a particular person in one's presence and in one's absence. Like when somebody is like suppose some devotees are taking prasadam, or like some devotees are like serving say some chapati to the devotees who are taking prasadam. So he's serving some hot chapatis to a certain devotee, and then the devotees, those devotees are also present, so he must serve to them also. So basically, because like in the presence of the other devotee, we easily become conscious of the person. But to be conscious of the person in one's absence, that means like that person has actually captured the heart. So Krishna actually remembered Vidura when Vidura was not present. So that means like Vidura actually captured the heart of Krishna. And more than that, Krishna actually remembered Vidura just before going to the spiritual world, just before winding up his pastimes in this material world. So like always, it's example. Like suppose like one spiritual master is like going abroad. Like just before going abroad, suppose he takes some devotee and then he talks to the devotee alone in the room for 5 hours. So immediately, as soon as the devotee comes out of the room, then naturally like all the devotees would ask him like, what did the spiritual master talk to you? Because he's going abroad for 6 months, and then just before that he's talking. So you are naturally eager to. So Krishna actually remembered Vidura just before going to the spiritual world. So we see that Vidura has actually captured the heart of Krishna. So naturally, when Vidura actually goes to Maitreya Rishi, we would expect that Vidura to ask from Maitreya Rishi about the same things, about the confidential truths which Krishna spoke to Uddhava and Maitreya Rishi just before going to the spiritual world. But we see like Vidura asks a completely different question. Vidura says, Sukaya karman karoti loko natai sukam vanyadupāramamva vindeta bhūyat tatayeva dukkam yadatra yuktam bhagavān vadana. So here, because Krishna actually imparted the most confidential pastime, the reason behind this annihilation of Yadu dynasty, roots behind the confidential pastimes, naturally you would expect some Vidura to ask about maybe some Ashtakalya Leela, or about some Krishna's pastimes. But Vidura is actually asking a general question. Like Vidura is asking that people in this world, they are performing fruitive activities in order to get happiness. But they are neither getting happiness, nor are they actually getting relief from the miseries. On the other hand, they are only getting distress. Vindeta bhuya tata eva dukkam. So please actually tell us what is the correct path for getting real happiness. So Vidura is actually, out of his natural humility, Prabhupada says that Vidura did not ask directly about the Lord, but inquired into a subject matter which would be of common interest to the people in general. So we see like Vidura is not concerned with his own ecstasy, but Vidura is actually concerned with the mission of the Lord. Because Vidura is asking a question whose answer will benefit people in general for all time to come. So here also we see Mother Yashoda is not concerned with his own ecstasy of being with Krishna, but she is actually concerned with how the future services to Krishna should properly take place, as if she went to take care of the milk. So we see, like, the we see the attitude of Sahajiyas, like Sahajiyas, is, they are more concerned with their own ecstasy than with the mission of the Lord. Like for like sometimes there are devotees, like sometimes they leave actually the movement where actually the preaching of Krishna consciousness is actually going on, and then they go and take shelter of some Babaji's or something, and they think, oh, in ISKCON, highest thing is not given. Maybe they are giving the highest thing. But here, Vidura is a person who is actually qualified to hear what actually Krishna spoke to Uddhava and Maitri Rishi. And Vidura was personally remembered by Krishna in his absence and just before going to the spiritual world. But he is actually more concerned with asking a question whose answer will benefit the people in general, instead of asking about some intimate pastimes about the Supreme Lord. So that is actually the nature of a devotee. In fact, like in another place, in the fourth canto, again Vidura's character is beautifully brought out in one particular verse, especially in Prabhupada's purport. In the fourth canto, when Maitreya Rishi is narrating the like activities of Prithu Maharaj, like at one particular point, like Maitreya Rishi has almost completed like half the narrations of Prithu Maharaj, but at that time, like Vidura is asking a further question. He's saying that, like, I'm not satisfied with your narration of Prithu Maharaj, please narrate more. In fact, he says, like, konvasya kirtim na shunot abhigyo yad vikramochishtam ashesha bhupa lokasa pala upajivanti kamam adhyapi tanme vada karma shuddham. So Vidura is saying this verse, actually, which intelligent person will not hear about the activities of Prithu Maharaj? In other words, he is saying that if a person does not hear the activities of Prithu Maharaj, then he is not intelligent. And then he is saying, actually, even great demigods and even great kings, they actually follow in the footsteps of Prithu Maharaj in order to rule their kingdom. And he says, adhyapi tanme vada karma shuddham. In fact, the activities of Prithu Maharaj are all auspicious. So please continue to narrate the activities of Prithu Maharaj. So we see here, again, Prabhupada writes a beautiful point. He says that Vidura's purpose in asking this question is to actually set an example for ordinary kings of this world as to how to rule the kingdom for peace and prosperity. So, like, this is an important point, like, because like Vidura is a person who is actually remembered by Krishna, but he is actually asking about like Prithu Maharaj, who is not even like a Vrindavan devotee, because like Vidura is concerned about setting a proper example that how one should actually hear about the activities of kings like Prithu Maharaj, who actually ruled the kingdom properly and who properly established the Varnashram system. Like, that's why we see that like great devotees like Srila Prabhupada, they say, Prabhupada said, like, only half of my mission is over, but the other half of my mission is to actually establish the Varnashram Dharma. So this is actually the mood following in the footsteps of devotees like Vidura. In fact, like another example which came to your mind about Parikshit Maharaj. In the fifth canto, after Shukadev Goswami completed the narration of Maharaj Priyavrat, completed the narration of the whole dynasty of Maharaj Priyavrat, in the fifth canto, 16th chapter, Parikshit Maharaj puts forward another question. He says, the mind, by fixing the mind on the Lord's, the Supreme Lord's grass form, grass universal form, the mind will become purified, and then a person will become qualified to hear the pastimes of the Lord. So here, Parikshit Maharaj is actually requesting Shukadeva Goswami to speak in great detail about the different planetary systems. He's saying that please, because in the fifth canto, first chapter, when Shukadeva Goswami was narrating the activities of Priyavrat Maharaj, that time he mentioned that how Priyavrat Maharaj divided the Bhumandal into seven regions. Jambudvipa, Plakshadvipa, Rutudvipa, etc. So here, Parikshit Maharaj is wanting to know in great detail about this different dimensions of the planetary systems. So Parikshit Maharaj, he's saying that mind, when it's fixed on the grass universal form, will get purified. Especially Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, he writes a comment. Parikshit Maharaj is not saying that when my mind is fixed on the Supreme Lord's universal form, it will get purified and then I will become qualified. In fact, he is not saying my mind. He is saying when the mind is fixed on the Supreme Lord's universal form. So that means Parikshit Maharaj is asking this question not for himself, but he is asking for the Bhakti Mishra Jnanis who are present in the assembly. And Parikshit Maharaj is saying, I take great pleasure in hearing the sweet pastimes of the Supreme Lord, but you please narrate this description of universal form, the planetary systems for the benefit of the Bhakti Mishra Jnanis. That means like who are not qualified for devotional service, who need to meditate on the Lord's universal form in order to get purified so that they will become qualified to hear about the pastimes of the Lord. So we see that like Parikshit Maharaj is actually concerned about others. Like as Govind Prabhu often tells that like absorption actually leads to awareness. Because Parikshit Maharaj is absorbed on the Supreme Lord, so he becomes aware of others' needs, what others need to hear in order to progress on the path of devotional service. So we see that here again, Parikshit Maharaj is not concerned with his own ecstasy, but he is actually concerned with others. And of course, like Radhana Swami Maharaj, in one of his lectures, he mentioned, it's not that Parikshit Maharaj thought that, okay, I'll ask this question for others and I'll go to sleep. And he was not thinking like that, because he was also hearing the whole narration by seeing that in relation with the Supreme Lord. Because all these were actually all this narration about the planetary system, they are actually described about the creation of the Supreme Lord. So Parikshit Maharaj was hearing that in relation to the Supreme Lord. So Maharaj mentioned that Parikshit Maharaj was in ecstasy hearing the narrations about the planetary systems, and Shukadeva Goswami was also in ecstasy narrating those narrations. And of course, I was hearing another lecture that Radhana Swami Maharaj is mentioning that Shukadeva Goswami, if you see the character of Shukadeva Goswami, it's so amazing. Shukadeva Goswami, he's actually the parrot of Srimati Radharani, directly descending from the spiritual world. He's the eternal associate of the Lord, but he's actually narrating about, with great ecstasy, about all the other forms of the Lord. He's narrating about Vamandev, Varahadev, Prithu Maharaj, Matsyavatar, so many incarnations. In fact, He does not even take the name of Srimati Radharani. So love means actually to see the object of love in all the other forms of the love. It's not that Shukadeva Goswami that I will only narrate about maybe Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes. Or I will, you must know that Shukadeva Goswami is actually an eternal associate of the Lord descending from the spiritual world, and he is actually narrating about all the other forms of the Lord. Then how can a sadhaka who is actually struggling in the path of anartha nivritti can think that, I have already developed a relation with this particular form of the Lord, so I will serve only this form of the Lord, I will only narrate about this activity of this Supreme Lord. So we see that Like, these are the characters of the great devotees. And then we see, like, another example of Arjuna. Like, Arjuna, in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita and also in the middle of the Bhagavad Gita, like, Arjuna, when he was actually lamenting, in the first chapter of the Gita, in his lamentation, he was actually considering about the future and the post-future. He was saying that, oh, if I actually, if we fight the battle, if we kill the Kauravas, then all the women will be unprotected. And all the religious people will start performing. There is nobody to guide the younger generation. The women will be exploited. And then there will be Varna Sankara. So in his lamentation, he is seeing about the future. Because, why I am saying is because Mother Yashoda is not simply concerned with the present, but she is concerned about the future service to Krishna. So that is why she went to take care of the milk. So Arjuna, when he was lamenting, when he was in ignorance, he was actually seeing about the future. And after he was perfectly enlightened, that time also he was seeing about the future. In the 10th chapter of the Gita, Arjuna says, like, sarvam etat ridam manye yanmam vadasi keshava. Like, now I accept whatever you say. I am ready to execute whatever you say. And then Arjuna is saying, vaktum arhas aseshena divya khyatma vibhutaya yabir vibhutibir lokan imam swam vyapya tishtasi. He's saying that, please actually describe about your divine opulences in great detail. So here Srila Prabhupada writes a purport that by Krishna's grace, Arjuna has personal experience, intelligence and knowledge and whatever else a person may have. And through all these agencies, he has understood that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And there is no doubt for Arjuna that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But still, Arjuna is asking Krishna to narrate about his divine opulences because he is concerned about the impersonalists and other people who actually want to know about the all-pervading feature of Krishna. How Krishna is all-pervading. So we see that, like, these are the qualities of the devotees. So we see that Krishna Leela, although here, like, Krishna is reciprocating intimate rasa with Mother Yashoda, like, we can learn this lesson how Mother Yashoda is not concerned with that present service to Krishna, but she is actually concerned with the future service. So that is the nature of a great devotee. Like, that is why, like, Prabhupada emphasized about establishing farm communities, like, and Varnashram, etc. And, like, another important point, we see that Mother Yashoda, when she went to take care of the milk, Krishna became angry with Mother Yashoda. In fact, I remember reading a transcript of Giriraj Maharaj and the Nectar of Devotion lectures. So he was mentioning that, like, when you see the characteristics of pure devotional service, the primary characteristics are devotional service is for Krishna and devotional service is rendered by following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas, and devotional service is performed in a favorable attitude with a desire to please the Lord. So here we see that, like, Mother Yashoda, she actually left the service of Krishna. Nonsense. So in that sense, if you see that Mother Yashoda's activity did not satisfy this condition of this primary characteristic, that Mother Yashoda left the service of Krishna. So, in that sense, it did not satisfy. But then, he mentioned, actually, Mother Yashoda, she left the service of Krishna, but then she went to take care of the milk. And in Vrindavan, actually, everything is actually perfectly conscious. Even the milk is actually a conscious, milk is a devotee of the Lord. The milk was thinking that if Krishna continues to drink Mother Yashoda's milk, then what is the use of my existence? So let me commit suicide. So Mother Yashoda went and actually took care of that milk. In fact, in the Vrindavan Yatra, Radhanath Maharaj mentioned that in regards to Govardhan. Like Govardhan not only served Krishna, but Govardhan also served the devotees of Krishna. So that is why Govardhan is called as Haridasa Varya. And serving the devotees of Krishna means like facilitating the devotees in their devotional service to Krishna. So Govardhan like produced such nice water that when the cows would actually drink that water, and they would produce so much like nice milk for Krishna. And when the cows would like eat the grasses, and then cows would produce such nice milk for Krishna. So in one sense, like Mother Yashoda facilitated that milk in his service to Krishna. So in that sense, like Mother Yashoda served a devotee of Krishna. So in that sense, Mother Yashoda performed a greater service. Because according to Lord Shiva, service to devotees is actually greater than service to the Lord. So we see that Mother Yashoda, she actually performed a greater service, although she left the service of Krishna. So that is why it is said, like, and we also see this lesson that Mother Yashoda's intention was to actually render better service to Krishna. As it is said, devotional service is not an activity which incidentally pleases Krishna, but it is an activity which is intended to please Krishna. And we see like another important point is that like when Mother Yashoda went to take care of the milk, Krishna was angry with Mother Yashoda. Krishna was actually biting his lips. So Krishna is actually externally angry with Mother Yashoda, but internally Krishna is actually pleased with Mother Yashoda. So like sometimes the Lord may be externally pleased with the devotee, but then internally he may not be pleased with the devotee. So our a devotee's desire is to actually please the Lord internally, or in other words, a devotee's desire to actually have the right attitude and the desire to please the Lord, although externally the Krishna may actually be angry. So the example is like we see in the sixth canto, we read the sixth canto, fourth chapter, when Daksha Prajapati, he was born as the son of the Prachetas, and his service was actually to increase the population of the universe. So when he was actually increasing the population, he was dissatisfied in the way creating the living entities. So he actually performed austerities, and he actually offered his Hamsa Guhya prayers to please the Supreme Lord, so that he can get the power from the Supreme Lord to actually increase the population. So when Daksha Prajapati offered these prayers, then Lord Vishnu appears. Then Lord Vishnu says to Daksha Prajapati, actually, you are perfect in your austerities because you have achieved the highest goal. Because I myself have appeared. Because my getting darshan of my form is the highest, and you have actually achieved that, so your austerities are perfect. And then he says that I am very pleased with you because your desire is same as my desire. Because you desire to increase the population, and that is also my desire, so I am very pleased with you. And then he says that that how even Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, all the Prajapatis, they actually engage in the service of increasing the population. Because the purpose of the material world is to actually give an opportunity to the living entity to enjoy independently from Krishna. And in their attempts to enjoy independently from Krishna, they will get so frustrated that ultimately they should come to the conclusion that I have to surrender to the Lord. So for that, first the living entities have to be given the facility by actually giving that material body to enjoy independently from the Lord. And the material body is also a facility to actually offer our service to the Lord. So Lord is pleased with Daksha Prajapati because your desire is same as my desire. And then Lord Vishnu says that very soon you will actually marry the daughter of Prajapati called Panchajana, and you marry that daughter, and with the help of her, you increase the population, and you will be able to increase the population to an unlimited extent with the help of her. So we must especially in that particular verse 6.4.52, like Prabhupada and Vishnu Chakravarti, they make important points. Vishnu Chakravarti says that actually Daksha Prajapati, the Supreme Lord, he did not actually favor Daksha Prajapati, because Supreme Lord, actually he cast Daksha Prajapati in the path of karma. He told him to actually just increase the population. And Daksha Prajapati also, he did not ask the Supreme Lord for devotional service. So it's externally it seems that Lord is actually pleased with Daksha Prajapati. Lord is giving so much of opportunity. Like Prabhupada writes in the purport, that although sex life is the topmost enjoyment in the material world, and although one may have an opportunity to enjoy sex life by the grace of the Lord, because the Supreme Lord has given unlimited capacity to Daksha Prajapati to enjoy sex life so that he can actually procreate so many living entities. And although one may have an opportunity to enjoy sex life by the grace of the Lord, but this entails a risk of committing offenses. So Prabhupada says, therefore, strictly speaking, the Lord, the Daksha Prajapati was not actually favored by the Lord. So externally, it appears the Lord was pleased with Daksha Prajapati, but actually internally, he was not pleased with him. So why he was not pleased with him? Because Daksha had actually committed an offense to Lord Shiva. We see in the fourth canto. So because of that offense, because he did not completely nullify the offense, he only begged forgiveness from the Lord Shiva, but he did not attain the favor of Lord Shiva. So because he committed an offense to Lord Shiva, the effect of the offense is he did not ask for devotional service from the Supreme Lord. He only asked for the capacity to actually increase the population. And the effect of the offense is that Lord actually cast him into the path of karma. Because if the Lord was actually pleased with Daksha Prajapati, he would have actually given him an opportunity to engage in devotional service. So he actually cast him into the path of karma. So Lord was actually not pleased with Daksha Prajapati. And again, the residual effect of the offense is he committed another offense. He actually offended Narada Muni. So we see that although Lord Vishnu was externally pleased with Daksha Prajapati, he was actually internally displeased with Daksha. He was actually displeased because he did not deal with the devotee of the Lord properly. So here, Mother Yashoda, here Krishna is, although externally displeased with Mother Yashoda, he is actually pleased with Mother Yashoda because Mother Yashoda, in one sense, she served a devotee. She gave hope to that milk. So we see that, another example, if you compare Daksha Prajapati with Dhruva Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj, one of the points, at least we have heard maximum number of times from Radhanath Swami Maharaj's lectures is that, you would say that Lord, the Supreme Lord, does not consider the thing a person offers, but he is actually concerned with the intention with which a devotee offers. But if you read this purport, 4.9.29, that Srila Prabhupada writes that the Lord is actually so affectionate to Dhruva Maharaj that although Dhruva Maharaj, he actually performed those devotional service only with these two intentions: to get a kingdom greater than that of Lord Brahma, and to take revenge against Suruchi. But the Supreme Lord was so pleased with Dhruva Maharaj that he did not actually, although the motive might be impure, the Lord does not consider the motive, but he is concerned with the service rendered. So Prabhupada writes in this purport. So because we see, like in the case of Dhruva Maharaj, although he had the improper motivation, but he actually followed the instructions of Narada Muni. In one sense, like he actually served Narada Muni's instructions. He served Narada Muni. So because Narada Muni is so dear to the Lord, so although Dhruva Maharaj's motive was impure, the Lord was actually pleased with Dhruva Maharaj. So in the case of Daksha Prajapati, Lord appeared to Daksha Prajapati for an institutional reason. Because he's a Prajapati, he's holding a particular post, he's doing a particular service. But in the case of Dhruva Maharaj, he's actually pleased with Dhruva Maharaj. In our own Krishna consciousness, sometimes a spiritual master may spend time with a person, maybe for institutional reason, but on the other hand, he may not give time to so many other devotees. But we must know for sure that when a person is having the right attitude with the other devotees, even though we may not get the time of the spiritual master or the Supreme Lord, we must know that actually they are pleased with this. On the other hand, even if we get the time of the great devotees, but if our dealings with the other devotees are not proper, then they are actually displeased with us. So in the case of Daksha Prajapati, Lord actually appeared to him because of institutional reason, but in the case of Dhruva Maharaj, the Supreme Lord was actually pleased with him, although his motive was impure because he rendered service to Narada Muni. So we see that, so here, this is another important lesson that, Mother Yashoda, although Krishna was externally angry with Mother Yashoda, Krishna was actually internally pleased with him. And finally, I'll just narrate this point and then we'll end. This particular pastime actually glorifies that how actually Krishna is Bhakta Vatsala. His actually quality of Bhakta Vatsala is actually brought out. In the future classes, more devotees will narrate how Krishna gave up 8 opulences in the course of this Damodar Leela. And we see that how Mother Krishna has completely come under the control of Mother Yashoda. So another important point is that, so Krishna has come under the control of Mother Yashoda because Mother Yashoda possesses devotion to the Supreme Lord. So we must not only appreciate a devotee, we must also appreciate the process of devotional service. So there are 3 things: the Supreme Lord, the devotee, and the process of devotional service. So if you see Srimad Bhagavatam, it contains the glories of the Supreme Lord, it contains the glories of the devotees, and it also glorifies the process of devotional service. And especially, if you see the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, when we read this book, we can actually appreciate the process of devotional service. In fact, in the 13th chapter of the Gita, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, in the beginning of the 13th chapter, he in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, Saratha Darshini, he offers obeisance to the Supreme Lord. But in the 13th chapter of the Gita, he is offering obeisances to the process of bhakti. He is saying, let me offer my obeisances to the process of bhakti, which by its mercy resides within jnana and other processes to a small degree in order to bring about success in those processes. And I'll just narrate one particular example which always inspired me. If you see this, the 64 items of sadhana bhakti, one particular item of sadhana bhakti is observing the aarti ceremony of the Lord. If you see this particular aspect, especially considering situation, suppose if a person has to take initiation or something, sometimes one may have to wait for so many years, or may have to wait. And then for Harinam initiation itself, one may have to wait. And what to speak of Brahman initiation, one may have to write Bhakti Shastri exam and attend the classes and prepare for it and then pass it, and then maybe if there is a chance one may get Brahman initiation. And after getting Brahman initiation, like what is the chance to, what is the opportunity to actually worship the Lord? I'm just talking in terms of like Radha Gopinath deities. Like, so one may not get, even if a person gets opportunity, like what is the chance of getting offering aarti to the Lord? Like that's also rare. And even if a person gets an opportunity to offer aarti to the Lord, only maybe few times in a year, or once in a week, or twice in a week. But then, and what to speak of like getting opportunity to offer aarti on the festival days. Like that is even more rare. But then, but if you see this particular, although in one sense like offering aarti to the Lord may be rare, but observing the aarti ceremony of the Lord, can anybody say like, oh, you can't observe the aarti ceremony of the Lord? Whether a person is initiated or non-initiated, whether a person is first initiated or second initiated, or whether a person is allowed to offer aarti. Like everybody can observe the aarti ceremony of the Lord. So that means like if you see the process of devotional service, it is such a process that like nobody can ever complain that, oh, I don't have the facility to offer devotional service. So that is the difference between the process of bhakti and the other processes. In fact, like especially if you see, like if this offering aarti ceremony to the Lord, like in fact like offering aarti to the Lord, it's not even explicitly mentioned by Rupa Goswami. He just mentioned worshipping the deity form of the Lord. But observing the aarti ceremony of the Lord is explicitly mentioning as one of the item of sadhana bhakti. And it is not that those who observe the aarti ceremony of the Lord, they will get less benefit, and those who offer aarti, they will get more benefit. And like we see the, if you see the attitude of the Lord, like if you see, if you compare with like modern like cricketers or like film stars, like do they actually, if somebody is like watching their movies, or if there somebody is like watching every cricket match the person is playing, and they are earning in crores, and they are not actually sharing with the spectators. I remember like in South India Yatra, like one Sri Vaishnava, in the Sriranga, one person said that he was seeing one particular person. So she was seeing a movie, and then she was crying by seeing a movie. Then she said, like, you are crying after paying 100 rupees to watch the movie. And this actress is crying in the movie after taking maybe so many crores. So, but we see like, so those who are like the actors or cricketers, they are not sharing their opulences to spectators. But the Supreme Lord, he is actually saying like even a person who observes the aarti ceremony of the Lord, he will actually get so much a benefit. So in this way, we see that Mother Yashoda, of course we accept, we will hear the glories of Mother Yashoda and add more points, but we can appreciate this particular aspect that how, because Mother Yashoda possesses the devotion to the Lord, like Krishna is actually completely captivated by the like Mother Yashoda. Like to summarize, we basically first talked about how a devotee is not concerned with the present service, but he is actually concerned about the future service. And we spoke about the examples of Vidura, Parikshit Maharaj and Arjuna. And we talked about how pleasing Krishna actually internally, how Mother Yashoda, Krishna was pleased with Mother Yashoda internally, but externally he was displeased. But Lord Vishnu was externally pleased with Daksha Prajapati, but internally he was displeased. And we talked about the process of bhakti, because of which Krishna is actually captured by Mother Yashoda. So I'll stop here. Grantana Srimad Bhagavatam ki chaya, Srila Prabhupada ki chaya.